And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. 2 weeks ago, the Florida legislature issued a formal apology for the state's history of slavery, and Governor Charlie Crist said he was willing to listen to suggestions for compensation. Political support for reparations is as thin in Florida as anywhere else in the country, and given the near certainty that the legislature will never authorize payments for the great and great-great-grandchildren of slaves, Marvin Dunn has some other ideas for the governor, and we'd like to hear your response to his proposals and any ideas that you might have for ways to address our history of slavery. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Marvin Dunn is former chair of the psychology department at Florida International University, where he specialized in the history of African Americans in Florida. His op-ed piece appeared yesterday in the Miami Herald, and he joins us now from our member station in Miami, WLRN. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
My pleasure.
And I know that after the legislature passed its apology and the governor had his comments, you asked yourself, how come you didn't feel better?
I didn't feel better. I couldn't imagine why they thought that would have done it. As a matter of fact, I felt insulted. It seems to me that there was a great deal more that was required, that is required, to pay this bill.
And you have some ideas. I mean, I think you've come to, at least in this article, accept the idea that the legislature is unlikely to pass broad-scale payments to the ancestors of slaves.
There's no way that the Florida legislature will pay a penny to any person claiming to have had an ancestor who was enslaved in Florida. That's not going to happen. The white people of Florida will not stand for it. There's no mood for that in Florida. What I've tried to come up with are ways that reparations may be made to blacks in general, to African Americans in general, rather than to individuals. And I made some specific suggestions to the governor. The first one being help us to find out who owned us in Florida. And since these records are pretty well documented, they are available in county tax records and state records, one of my suggestions was that a person who is skilled to do so, an archivist, be hired at our historically black institution here in Florida, Florida A&M University, and that person's sole job would be to digitize these records from across the state so that anyone who wanted to research his or her ancestry in Florida would be able to do so, particularly through looking at these slave records.
Your second proposal is for a monument in Tallahassee.
Well, yes, and that's going to be a difficult one because who wants to memorialize slavery? A lot of black people would like to see something visual, something artistic that expresses the pain and contributions of African Americans in Florida under the whip. And I think that there is a lot of potential resistance to that idea being actualized in a statue or in some sort of expression. But I think it's very important for people to have a thing, a place, a representation of events that affected their lives so that future generations can relate to it.
And as you point out, we've had memorials erected to other presumably uncomfortable things, the Holocaust, to wars.
That is correct. There's a very moving memorial to the Holocaust here in Miami Beach, and children go to it by the thousands every year, and they should. And the same thing should happen with respect to African-American suffering in this country.
You also argue that the state should take steps to ensure that the history of suffering and cruelty should not be forgotten.
Correct. This is the easiest period in history to get information passed around to the public. And my view was that we use the Ken Burns model. Ken Burns, as you know, has made outstanding documentaries, film documentaries, and that we do the same sort of thing on the history of slavery in Florida and then submit that film to a DVD format and place it in every public school in the state of Florida so that from now on, youngsters of every race can appreciate and learn what happened in Florida during this terrible time.
We're talking with Marvin Dunn, an African-American historian specializing in the history of black Florida. He's, as you've been hearing, come up with some practical suggestions for reparations, quote-unquote, that might actually happen, given the unlikelihood that the Florida legislature or the legislature of any other state, including the Congress of the United States, would ever pass a bill to authorize payments to the ancestors of slaves. So In your mind, what other ideas would you have to memorialize this issue? What other sorts of reparations that might actually happen do you think would be doable? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Marvin Dunn, I didn't mean to cut you off. There is one other suggestion that you have, which has to do to education.
Yes. As a matter of fact, in all of the slave states, as I understand it, it was illegal to teach a slave to read. And it seemed to me that one of the ways that states that suffered slavery or profited by it might make amends is to make fully paid college scholarships available to any African American who can prove that he or she had ancestors who were enslaved in Florida. And those people should be able to attend without cost our state university system. They should meet the same admission requirements as everyone else. But that's one way in which the state could offer some sense of redress to blacks in general as opposed to individuals.
And
I think excuse me for cutting you off,
that's
but
okay.
I think in terms of the four recommendations that I made, the last one is the most important and the most far-reaching.
It seems to me it would require at least some of the first, so people would more easily be able to approve that some of their ancestors were held slave in Florida, though.
That is correct. And I just want to reemphasize, Neil, how easy it is for this to be done. It's not a difficult thing to have the counties make these records available so that they can be digitized and made available to the public. I just think that what we are experiencing now that Senator Obama has opened the conversation on race is a stone wall when it comes to the question of reparations. And what I've tried to do is to offer some ways around that wall.
Let's see if we can get some listeners involved in the conversation. Again, our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Kyle joins us on the line. Kyle's with us from Charlottesville in Virginia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, yeah. I'm actually a high school student. And, you know, I think, I believe that government should do something about this. But I agree that reparations itself is just a ridiculous idea in terms of that it would be impossible to get through any legislature. And so I think a much more logical solution would be to take the money that would be given to families, and I think it was just being talked about a minute ago, and, you know, putting it more towards public education and low-income housing and things that would benefit the African-American community. Because when you just look at it, they remain so stagnant in the past couple of decades in terms of climbing the economic ladder. And I think that it makes a lot more sense to create social and economic opportunities versus just giving them money.
Your response, Marvin Dunn?
I quite agree with him. Absolutely. And education is the great equalizer. We've seen in the course of recent decades how much advancement African Americans have made with education access being made available to them. And this seems to me to be a way that this could be done without riling a whole lot of white folks about giving away money to black people. Plus the problem of trying to figure out who you would give money to anyway, if we were to go down the reparations road. And I would encourage black leaders across the country, stop making that argument. It's falling on deaf ears. Look at what can reasonably be accomplished in your states and then push for that.
Thanks very much for the call, Kyle.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. As you go ahead, I mean, you know you're going to encounter the argument that, this is inadequate.
Well, it is inadequate. That's absolutely correct. As I pointed out in the article, my grandmother, her father was a slave in Gadsden County, Florida, as were other relatives of mine. God knows the pains they suffered. God knows how many people ended up dead as a result of the requirements that system put on them. So this doesn't come close to wiping the slate clean or equalizing things. It's just an attempt to make some amends for a great wrong.
Some people would say that, it's not going to end the argument unless there's reparation someday. This is going to continue muddling through.
Well, it won't end the argument, but it might get us started. It might get us moved beyond where we are now. When states pass resolutions such as Florida did, apologizing for slavery, I don't think that goes very far with most African Americans. And I think that You know, we're reasonable people. I think those of us who think through this issue know that there's not going to be, probably should not be, any kind of individual reparations made. But let's get together and figure out what would work best for our own states and our own communities and push for those things.
Is this something that should be addressed on a state-by-state level, or is this something better addressed on a federal level, do you think?
I think it has to be state-by-state. The federal government will just mess it up, that as they messed up most other things. So keep the states in charge of this. They have the records. They have their laws that oppressed and discriminated against blacks. So I see this as a state obligation. And frankly, the governor of Florida, having expressed an interest in hearing ideas, has at least opened the door to our talking about this in more detail in Florida. Now, whether anything will happen as a result of it, I'm not sure.
Were you surprised to hear the governor say that he'd be open to discussing the idea of reparations?
I was shocked, actually. But then Charlie Crist has been shocking Floridians since he got elected. I was very surprised at that and encouraged by it. But I've been around long enough to know that talk is cheap.
Talk is cheap. Well, we're trying to put a little value in it here on Talk of the Nation today. We're on the opinion page. Our guest is Marvin Dunn. He is a former chairman of the psychology department at Florida International University and an historian who specializes in black Florida history. You can find a link to his op-ed in the Miami Herald on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Thomas. Thomas with us from Philadelphia.
Hi. Thanks for having me on your program.
Go ahead, please.
I don't know how to best phrase my idea, but I like the idea of the memorial the best, and specifically a museum, because I don't, as much as legislation is not going to be passed, I don't think that college scholarship programs will ever be passed either. It just doesn't seem realistic to me. So the memorial, specifically, like a, there's a Jewish museum in Los Angeles where it's a very interactive feeling. So those people actually, that go to the museum, you actually can empathize through actually feeling what those slaves did. And in the Jewish situation, you're given a name at the beginning of the tour. You have to take off your shoes and you walk through a very eerie process that reenacts what those people went through and went through those camps and things like that. I think a museum memorial that really makes people feel what it have a greater impact than just telling you a story would be the most effective.
I love that idea.
To honor this country's past.
I absolutely think that's a great idea. It improves upon my suggestion of a memorial. I'm glad you called in. Maybe we could refine that if anything happens in Florida and try to press this a little bit beyond what I suggested.
I certainly hope so. Good luck to you.
Thomas, do you need Governor Crist's address?
Yes.
I think you can find it. Just go to florida.gov. I think you'll be able to find it right there. Thanks very much for the call, Thomas. Appreciate it. A lot of the analogies, as Thomas did, as you did before, are made to Holocaust museums and that sort of thing, partly because it helps with children who otherwise might not absorb this information or might absorb just bits and pieces of it.
Absolutely, and that's the level of education and intervention we need to have in order to make sure that in the long course of history that people understand where we've been as a nation and how far we've come. So absolutely the main targets for this kind of information and public involvement in this history is to be directed at children.
What kind of response have you gotten since this piece appeared yesterday?
Well, I've been very pleasantly surprised. I've done op-ed pieces where the hate mail starts the next morning and runs on for a week or so. But I've received a number of telephone calls and inquiries, which seems to suggest that this is that these ideas are worth considering, and actually people saying thank you for helping to advance the conversation on reparations beyond where we are now, which is deadlocked and not moving anywhere.
So who called you besides Ken Burns? I'm just kidding.
Mostly friends and families and family members and colleagues of mine.
Do you think that these proposals have a chance?
Well, you know, Florida's a cheap state. I mean, we don't really like to spend money down here. We would rather have people think we have a lot more than we do have. So it's hard. A lot of it will depend upon how this resonates in the African-American community in Florida and with those who support us in trying to reach some resolution on the question of reparations. It's hard to say. A lot of the people who live in Florida now are new to Florida in the last 10 years or so. Most white Floridians came from someplace else. So it's difficult to see or to guess whether they will buy into this as being some sort of an obligation that the state of Florida should respond to. But I remain basically hopeful about this because I do believe that most people believe in fairness and will want to do the right thing in the final analysis.
You're an optimistic man, and your view of humanity does us credit. Thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Marvin Dunn joined us from WLRN, our member station in Miami, Florida. He's the former chair of the psychology department at Florida International University, an African-American historian specializing in Black Florida history. His op-ed appeared in April 6th Miami Herald, that's yesterday's, entitled Make the Apology Meaningful. Again, if you'd like to get a link to it, you can go to our site. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation, and there's a link to the op-ed in the Miami Herald. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting live from the Newseum. That's a new museum for journalism here in Washington, D.C. We'll be talking with a panel of reporters, editors, and columnists about their role and their agendas in covering this year's presidential campaign. Join us tomorrow for that. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can purchase transcripts of stories you hear on this program. Visit our website, npr.org, and click on Transcripts at the top of the page. This is NPR.